Hello, my hands were dry. Hold on, let me get fasty quickly.
What an intro! he's massaging.
Man's lotion the hands on that. They're dry, they're crackly.
Yeah, it just felt so like, what? Yeah, I'm gonna have to cut through the first 30 seconds, but yeah, okay. Hello, people, and welcome back to the Outer Bound podcast. We are back with the normal co-host minus one, Samantha. So we still have Abbas and Kojo here. How we doing?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Just looking forward to NBA ball. Looking forward to football coming back this weekend. But overall, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Obviously, we're just hearing the international break, which is kind of boring. Sorry, Abbas, I forgot to ask you how you're doing. How are you doing as well?
I'm calm. Can't complain. Everything's good. KSI was robbed on the weekend, but that's a different thing.
Yeah, man.
You know, my initial reaction was KSI was robbed. But then after that, I just thought, I don't really care because the match was so crap.
It is, isn't it?
Like, he lost, he won, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? I think the best one in that was the one between the ones that look like they'll be or whatever.
Logan Paul's one.
No, the one that calls himself, like, he said Dean Chester in an interview or something like that.
Oh, yeah, Dean the Great. Good fight.
Yeah, I think he's the best one. But, yeah, we're not here to talk about influence in boxing because no one cares about that. And as I mentioned, it's the international break, so there isn't any club football to talk about. Also, we didn't have a race week, so there's no Formula One to talk about. But luckily, we have been saved. Because as Kojo mentioned earlier, we're all excited for the new... Well, I'm excited for the new NBA season. I've missed all the... Abbas is never excited for NBA no more anyways. He run watch the Oval Bowl. So.
I'll be honest with you. I've watched the league for so long. Like, bro, I was watching the league when people couldn't find streams. And I'd be like, I've got to find stream number one, stream number two, three, four, and stuff like that, bro. I was watching the league when Derek Fisher was playing. And stuff like that. So you know what? Like, it is what it is at the time.
So what, let's be real. Would you say you're more excited for the NBA, for NFL season than the NBA season?
Bro, NFL season.
You've been watching. How long have you watching NFL for?
NFL season I've been watching for the longest as well, bro. I used to watch NFL season when I had like a square TV and a VHS.
So basically, you're confirming live on air. Yeah, well, not live on air, but you're confirming on the air on this podcast that, from what it seems, that you're more of an NFL fan than an NBA fan.
Bro, I've been an NFL guy for the longest.
He's a true American at heart. But as I said, I'm very excited for the NBA this season. I think the only thing I worry about is, you know, when players start to get old, their body might not be able to do what they used to do. And those 3 a.m. like waking up and trying to watch the Lakers and stuff. Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to fare this year and stuff. Because I know last year I struggled so much that sometimes you just have to wake up and...
That's what Game Pass clutch, though. Bro,
I've got to be honest with you, bro. When it comes to regular season, bro, unless it's the big marquee games, yeah, the national TV games, I don't really watch on stay up for the 3 a.m. games, bro. I just sleep it off.
Well, it's funny.
Up in the morning and just catch up on the highlights, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? Christmas Day, or the big games, like, let's say, on MLK, or it's like it's opening week, do you know what I'm saying? Like, Premier Week, that's when I stay up 3 a.m. to watch the games. But if it's like a game in November... Or January, or like March, bro, get your sleep, bro. Your sleep is important.
Nah. Well, I mean, I feel like
it's a time where you can 3 a.m. Yeah, you can stay up.
I love the game, man. I just love the game. I mean, I think one of those things, yeah, is funny enough. I find it easier to watch the 3 a.m. games than it is to watch the 12:30 ones because I feel like I could like around 12 o'clock I can get some sleep and then wake up at 4 o'clock for the second half, whereas in the 12:30 games, as I said, my body just doesn't hold up the way it used to, and it's just like go to bed or something. So, but you know what? We're not here to actually, we are here to talk about all of that. But as you know, in the title is going to be our NBA predictions as the season starts next Wednesday in the UK, I think 12:30. So we're just going to give our prediction for the whole season. Obviously, I think this one will be common sense. I think it's quite clear, Victor Wembanyama, injury aside, will win Rookie of the Year. So I just want to ask you guys what you do expect from him this season, given he's more likely than not to win it.
You go, Bass. You take it away.
Do you know what? I feel like I expect him to do what Zion couldn't do. And that is kind of input himself to be like, I'm here, and I'm here not just because of the hype. I'm here and I'm able to establish myself type of thing. Because I know we say it, but not always does the guy that we expect to win stand out. And what's the guy from Oklahoma that drafted last year?
Holmgren.
Yeah, so because how Oklahoma are right now compared to San Antonio. San Antonio is a mess. Oklahoma are growing. Even though we expect Wemby to basically go ahead and do everything and become rookie in the year just based off the hype, to actually deliver it is a different thing. And that's why sometimes when you look at it, he might not necessarily win it. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a foregone conclusion, because if you sometimes also go into a team, especially in your second season, and you've not necessarily played in the full season, but you've seen at the team transition and the where they are, you might slot in a lot more easily and be able to, first and foremost, get wins, and second, put up decent numbers versus someone who's in theory going to put up numbers. But then that guy, at the end of the day, he's still a rookie and he's still playing against grown men. But if you were to say to win the rookie of the year, I kind of want to just have him impose himself and be like, I'm not just hype, and I can kind of I am able
to ask one more question quickly. Obviously, before we come to you, Kojo, and correct me if I'm wrong, in Melo's rookie season, he got into the playoffs with, was it Denver Nuggets, if I'm correct? Don't you think it could be a situation, and if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong, but don't you think it could be a situation because LeBron in each rookie season, he didn't even make the playoffs, and he was still able to win Rookie of the Year, and that's because he was able to put up 20-plus points a game. He's this new big thing coming out of St. Mary or wherever he came out from, the chosen one. I remember the hype that LeBron had coming into the league. Victor seems to have that same type of hype in the social media era coming into the league. 7 foot, can shoot, can dunk, can lay up, can spin around, can do whatever you want to do. So even if they kind of put up similar numbers, don't you think that because of the hype that Victor has come in with the league, he should just be able to have plain sailing to the award?
So if he's able to do that with them numbers, then fair enough. But again, to replicate hype is probably the hardest thing to do. And the same is so with my boy Lonzo. He had so much hype. He couldn't replicate that, obviously, with injuries and stuff. And that's another thing. If you look at his frame, very thin. Like, you could snap like that. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we see so many rookies now that come in with a certain frame, whether they're a bit chunky, whether they're a bit thin, whatever they are. And then when they play against real men, it's a lot harder to then deliver. But yeah, no, if he, well, let's say he got close to LeBron numbers and had that impact, because at the end of the day, nobody cared about the Spurs last year, but the eyes will be on the Spurs this year because of who they drafted in. If he's able to live up to the hype in terms of the numbers, and yeah, the Spurs have somewhat of an okay record, he'll win Rookie of the Year. But if not, then the guy in OKC 100% will be looking at, this is something I can definitely get a hold of, especially because OKC, I think, will just continue to elevate with SGA going forward as well.
What about you, Kojo?
Yeah, I think with Victor Wembanyama, I feel like, obviously, barring any injuries, I think he should kind of establish, you know, the hype that we've all been giving him, you know, ever since we saw him, you know, playing in France in his respective division for Metropolitans. I think realistically, the numbers I expect to average are probably, I think you can average these 26 from 7, and I thought that would be enough to really win Rookie of the Year. Again, barring any injury, because of his height.
26, 27?
Yeah, I say 20, 26 and 7. I think that's a reasonable expectation for what he should average. Again, barring any injuries, though, because obviously, like Abbas said, with his height and his frame, you know, you do question, you know, can he last in the league? Can he have a full season where he can play maybe around 65 to 70 games? Especially if the Spurs want to really make noise this year, which is unlikely, even if, you know, Victor Wembanyama is putting up bad numbers and, you know, he's pulling out every single game or whatnot. I feel like his frame, his height, obviously, it is a very big question. Can he, you know, can he last? Can he play to the demands of this league? You know, players of usually that height, over 7 foot, you're quite, you know, thin. That sounds right, hopefully. You know, pause if not, but do you know what I'm saying? yeah, there's obviously question mark on his jubilee, but in terms of talent and skill, and, you know, hopefully if he can just stay healthy, which I'm hoping that's the case, because obviously a talent like him kind of play most games, especially in his first season, I think he could have a very exciting first year in the league and definitely create some highlight roles for this upcoming season.
I mean, I do expect a good season from him. I don't think I can go as far as you saying as 26, 27, because you never have to look at some of the
20 points, 6 to 7 rebounds. You don't think that's likely? If he
can I thought he meant as he's going to get 26 points.
No, 26 was like 20.
Okay. No, I agree with you in that sense. I do think he can get... So I think he should be getting a lot more than 6. I think he should... I mean, for someone of his strength, should be in double-digit rebound, regardless of if he's a rookie or not. And I see like 1.5 blocks in him. And I think it's going to be a thing of like, he's going to be a highlight role because... I don't know, they obviously, you talk about your KDs, your Dirks, your Karl Anthony Towns, even though he's not in their kind of level, big men who are shooting, but then for someone to be able to be that lanky, who like he's when he's just standing, he's almost looking at just the rim, and then he can score. His handles are kind of is very, very good for his size and stuff like that. And I sort of think where he was out to the restricted area and was able to just posterize Thomas Bryant, who is a big dude himself. So, as I said, I think even if he wouldn't even deserve the Rookie of the Year at the end of the year, when Sports Centers and your ESPNs and your First Things First, they will continue to speak about him day after day after day. And you know how media agendas can also move towards these kind of awards. So Chet, he might have a great season as well. I think what also works, he will have SGA on his team, which I'm not really sure why. People are saying he's a top 10 player in the league, and I think he's a really good player. I don't know, but I can't put him in that category. And then you also got Giddy. I'm not saying he's on Chet's level, but then Chet hasn't played an NBA game. So they've got a few talent in the team that will be taking touches away from Chet, whereas in as for the rest, you got, I mean, I know obviously you still got the outside, I think, talk about
Scoot Henderson. Henderson.
Yeah, Scoot he's Henderson. Still outside chance as well. So I do think it will be a foregone conclusion just because I know the way the media agenda is pushed. But then I also don't think it will be a thing, whereas in it will be a run, because I do feel like you have a good enough rookie season to go in and win it.
Yeah, but I think just the talent, I think he's probably the best by none within this year's draft. Like, easily the best by none. So, if he can just stay fit and healthy, and the Spurs can be maybe like a top 12 seed in the West, I think he'll win it. Yeah. Because I don't think there's real expectations on the Spurs to really make the playoffs this year. Let's be very real. So, I think if they can be a top 12 seed, he plays about 70 games. He's going to be, I mean, it gets those numbers or even more. He's a rookie of the year.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. Talk about being superstars for your team. Obviously, as you know, there's always pressure on being a superstar in this league.
Yeah.
Which player do you think should have the most pressure going coming into this NBA season?
Do you know what? A bit of me wants to say this because they've fallen short constantly. I'm not gonna say Kevin Durant on this one. I'm gonna say Kawhi Leonard. And the reason is that the reason he also gets a pass by a lot of people and he's able to do that is because he won the chip with San Antonio where he got finals MVP, I believe. And obviously with Toronto, he's got them their chip. It's just Project LA hasn't formed yet. And a lot of Project LA has focused around the fact that none of them can be healthy. So that's where he's got the pass. But at what point do you look at the Project LA, I'm going to keep calling it that, and say, get yourself healthy. Like, you are an athlete who has up there with one of the most, probably the best training regimes you can money can buy you. And you telling me you can't stay healthy enough, that your team can't deliver in the playoffs. If it is a case where your body is just dying on you naturally, that's fine. Like, you can just come out and say, look, my body ain't it. Like, I'm not Kawhi Leonard that you saw. I'm not the claw. I'm not this. I'm not that. So I'd probably say Kawhi Leonard at this moment in time. But outside of that, probably Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant. And no matter what team he's on, it's always going to have another superstar next to it. But there will never be the superstar caliber of Kevin Durant. But for now, I'd probably say Kawhi Leonard.
I'm gonna go with one of the names. I'll let you go, Arthur Kodjo. I'm gonna go with one of the names you mentioned because I think there are a couple of players you can look at. Obviously, I've mentioned in the past that as long as Giannis is in the league, I'm gonna kind of give him that LeBron treatment of, is it your team? You should be going on to win championships. I do think Giannis has that kind of pressure. I also think maybe someone like Joel Embiid has a kind of pressure of, he's not an MVP now. He's nearly 30 or he's 30 already and he's not even been out of the second round. But I'm still going to give it to Kevin Durant. And the reason I'm going to say that is because I've not seen a superstar in NBA history that gets a bigger pass than this man does. Because, and obviously, I'm not going to tell you to exclude his years after outside of Golden State because I do believe those added values for him and he puts him into certain conversations he never would have been in unless he won those championships. But what I don't understand is how a superstar can be given all this help after help after help, and unless he's on a team, whereas in they're not guaranteed to win, he can't go and pull off a championship. I think last year, I feel like was quite embarrassing. The way the Clippers had a series in there with no Kawhi and Paul George. They got schooled by the Denver Nuggets as well, and they got bounced. The year before, he gets schooled by the Celtics and Jason Tatum and all those guys in a sweep. In the first round as well, while you still got carrying your team, whatever you may think of him. And then the year before, obviously, you have that close game seven with Giannis, but I think it came to a point in overtime, he didn't score any points. So, and then you can see what he did at OKC as well. And as much as people want to blame Russ for the what happened in 26 and the 3-1 lead and whatnot, I believe if KD held up his end of the bargain, OKC win that series. Because, and I'll say it time and time again, and people can go and check what happened in the 2016 playoff run. I think Westbrook was the best player in that 2016 playoff run. And if KD stepped up, there was no way that Golden State should be coming back from 3-1. And obviously, the past of unfortunate circumstances. So, with all of that being said, getting Bradley Beal again after you forced your way out of Brooklyn where you had a big three there, you now have Bradley Beal, you now have Devin Booker, you've gotten rid of DeAndre Ayton, which he was always hit and miss for the Suns. I do believe, even though they're not my favorite, Suns are not my favorites to win, he has no excuses to not go and win one out of Golden State.
So obviously you've gone with Kevin Durant, Richard. Obviously Abbas has gone with Kawhi Leonard, which is a very expected one. I'm gonna go with something different. You mentioned his name before, Richard. But I've got two, but I'm gonna stick with one. But I think another one is a good shot. So I'll say the player which is on the most pressure, I think, is Joel Embiid personally. But more when it comes to the postseason. I think regular season the 76ers should be fine. I think they'll probably be a top four seed in the East, so there's no trouble there. But I think when it comes to the postseason, Philly are a big, you know, sports nation. They love their basketball team. And it's been, what, 22 years currently that they've last made an NBA Finals. For such a big city in America, Philadelphia, a team which love their basketball team, a team which has had many great players play for their franchise, post-Allen Iverson. And then many good coaches, Doc Rivers, Brett Brown, and obviously, who's their coach now? I haven't really kept
talking. I'm Philly Nick Nurse.
I don't know who he is, but okay, right. But
you don't know who Nick Nurse is?
Oh, sorry, Nick Nurse, sorry. I didn't know. Nick Nurse, yes. Again, now more pressure. Now you've got a championship winning coach in recent time, 2019 with the Toronto Raptors. Now for me, having his sort of thinking, his philosophy, his ideology, it should elevate this team under, you know, his coaching and his game plan to really get the best out of Joel Embiid's game and obviously the surrounding cast that you've got. Obviously, question marks whether we're going to get a fully involved and committed James Harden in this team. But I think Joel Embiid being in the MVP conversation for the last 3 years, being the MVP winner last year, him being very ball dominant, him being a beast in the paint with a decent mid-range game, and him being a vocal leader in this Philadelphia team, I think all eyes on him to really lead this team to a meaningful playoff run. He has to get this team, for me, at least the conference finals. You can't get a second round knockout. You can't get a first round exit. It has to be a conference finals. And I think even when you get to the conference finals, it has to be a meaningful series, a deep series, where if you lose in seven games. But you need to be a player where you're putting your team at the edge of getting basketball glory, putting them on the cusp of advancing to the NBA finals or even getting to the NBA finals. And I think for so long, he's kind of failed at doing that with the talent he has. And I feel like right now, you being the MVP of this league, in your, 11th year, I think right now, all eyes on you to deliver Philadelphia a meaningful season coming for this postseason.
One last thing, quick before you go, Richard.
And I think another shout for me for a player who is on the most pressure this season, I think it's Jason Tatum. I feel like the Celtics this season have been applauded to be probably the best team all round in the league. A lot of people expect them to get out of the East. A lot of people do have them as their favorites to win the whole championship, to win number 18. Now, obviously, Tatum being the best player, being a marksman, obviously, last year in the postseason run, especially in that series against Philly, I feel like with his level where he can potentially ascend to being potentially the best player in basketball, I think you need to take that game, you being inspired by Kobe, to kind of show everyone, yeah, I'm that guy. I can take the Celtics to the promised land and get number 18. I can put the world on notice and get over the line. We did 2 years ago, we were close to Golden State. Last year, we had a bit of a hurdle over to Miami, a bit embarrassing, game 7 defeat. But this time round, I'm that guy, and I can put my stamp on the team and making sure that we are going to the NBA Finals and winning the championship. So, yeah.
Do you know what's funny?
I was going to say, the only thing I would come back on that in terms of the Joel Embiid pick is two things. One is, because of the uncertainty surrounding James Harden, because James Harden is in a really weird position, whereas in he's training with the team, he's run all the sets with them, he's wearing their uniform, he's in training camp, unlike what he did at Houston, but he still comes out and says this relationship cannot be repaired. So although you want to say Joel Embiid should carry the team, I think it's one of those things where you don't know what team he's going to have going into the season. That's number one. And number two, I do feel like the Joel Embiid stocks are a bit low, whereas in it's kind of feeling like this is who he is. Because I remember back in the day, 2018, 2019, and not 2020, but every year up to 2020, I would say, Philly are going to win it because they've got Ben Simmons, they've got Embiid, they've got JJ Redick, Markel Fultz, and all these guys. And it's just the thing that when someone has let you down time and time and time again, my expectations just can't be that high, regardless of how big of a superstar they are, which is why I can't go with the Joel Embiid one.
I hear what you're saying, Richard, and you make some other points, but again, this is what the wider NBA media think of Joel Embiid. And with that, you have to kind of be fair and level him towards the criteria that he's been leveled to by many NBA fans, even myself. And Philly, for me, are a big franchise. You know, they're not a small franchise. They ain't no Oklahoma. They ain't no, Charlotte. You know, this is a team where you have many great players who played in the franchise from the days when you last got to the NBA Finals. You lost NBA Finals birth. And you have a good team. Like, you have a team which is a top 4 team in the East. Like, you've got Tyrese Maxey, who's ascending. We've got Tobias Harris, who's a good player. I can't think of any more players they've got. Obviously, James Harden, we don't know what's going to happen. But for me, I'm guessing he probably will play. You know, some. I don't think he's going to get the trade, so I think he will play. Depending on how committed he is this season, it's a question mark. But you still got a good enough team, which should... barring Milwaukee and Boston, this Philadelphia team really should be competing. I think for me, they're on par with Miami in terms of the level of talent they got on their team.
Miami's still better. But
they're not way better. Like, they're not way better.
Philadelphia should
compete with Miami, bro.
Yeah.
You say Philadelphia should be competing bar Boston and Milwaukee. So that's two teams.
No, I'm saying that there's two teams which for me are levels ahead of Philadelphia.
Yeah, so but if I'm you really in the potential no, that's my point. So because there's two teams levels above them, really. When you look at them making the conference finals, they're exceeding expectations significantly because the two teams above them should be making the conference finals. So really for them, getting to the second round, making that competitive is kind of successful in a way.
It's not. Because you know why? We've seen with the Lakers, right? Let's be real. The Lakers weren't with the second best team throughout the whole year in the Western Conference. We had a very good run in to get to the conference finals. And you had certain players which executed that game plan for the Lakers to kind of get past the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. So potentially Philly could be in a situation where they're in a good side of the draw where they can get to the conference finals, and you need those players which can execute that game plan and affirm that chance of actually getting through to a position which can put you in a chance to win the NBA title. The Lakers almost got there, obviously. Came up massively short against the Lakers.
The Lakers were a better team than the seed actually showed, which is why when the playoffs hit and everyone's healthy, they were good.
Yeah.
Philly... Even if Philly played Boston and Philly had home court advantage over a 7-game series, you'd probably still say Boston would win.
100%. I'm not
confident. I'm not confident.
But what I'm saying is that if you look at the way Philly can do really well in the regular season, I forgot when they finished last year, But if they're going to really well in the regular season, let's say they take the regular season seriously. Maybe let's say Boston knocks off in the regular season. Let's say Boston finishes fourth, Philly finishes second, right? Ideally, you expect Philly to have a good side of the draw and get to the conference finals, right? If everyone stays healthy.
I hear what you mean there.
It's manageable that they can get to a position where they can
get
to
for that, they've got to obviously take the regular season a lot more serious. The one thing I'll say is, for the first time, I'd say LeBron James might not be under much pressure because
it's AD team.
I was going to say, this is the first time when you look at superstars that we mentioned, we've listed them up, all these superstars under pressure. The only superstar not under any pressure 100% is Steph Curry. He's allowed to be well because he's calm. LeBron James, the first time probably in his career, is under no pressure because it's like, AD, when are you going to step up? When are you going to be that guy? So I think LeBron and Steph, for the first time probably in what, 8 years, 9 years? When did this Warriors dynasty really kick in? In whatever that period is to now, this is the first time Steph's probably under hardly any pressure as well.
I think no one has that much expectation the Warriors this season. That's why. I think, obviously, Steph has obviously got on the limelight regarding the pressure. But I think come postseason, depending... let's see, actually. I don't want to speak too soon.
I think for the first time, a lot of people don't put LeBron as one of the top five players in the league anyway. So it lets you know what people are starting to think of. And I think Steph has the superstar pressure, but unlike LeBron, it's one of those things like his legacy is kind of set in stone. That anything he does now is just a bonus. It's not like, Steph. I think the only pressure he might have is because a lot of people, including me, are now saying the Golden State legacy or dynasty is finished and stuff. So maybe he has that kind of pressure to prove to us that it's not over yet, but even though I think it is, but I don't know. It's just one of those things. But then moving on, because we are still going to stick on the topic of superstars, it's the award that only superstars can really and truly win, and it's the MVP debate. So I'm going to ask, who do you guys think will win the MVP this year?
I think I'll start first. I'll keep it quick. I think Jayson Tatum probably will win the MVP. I feel like if the Celtics can be a top three seed, which they probably will be, if Jayson Tatum can average around 28 or more, I think last season he averaged, I think, just under 30, ran up to 30 points per game. I feel like if he can marvel that this season, I think easily, I think he's the MVP, especially the Celtics got a lot of hype in the agenda. There's a lot of media agenda with Celtics, a lot of hype with the Celtics. And the fact that he was kind of close in the running. Obviously, I think the last thing he was fourth in MVP vote, but I feel like with Giannis, I think Giannis has to do something super. And I think with Giannis, I think he will take a bit of a back step, because I think in this setup for the Milwaukee Bucks, I feel like it's going to be Dame's time to really shine and kind of put the Bucks in a level where they can go for a championship more than Giannis kind of taking on that pressure and doing his role to kind of making sure that this team is exceeding on all fronts. But I think because of that, I think Jayson Tatum, for me, will have more of the role to kind of lead this Boston Celtics team to potential glory. So I think Tatum will probably win MVP.
I think the first thing I'll say is the NBA will want someone new. I think if you really deep it, they'll want someone new and not someone... Maybe Giannis has a shout because he's not won it.
He also has a shout, really.
Yeah, because he's not won it in a while. But if I'm looking at someone new, I'm looking at potential, like you said with Jayson Tatum, I probably say someone, depending on where they finish, Luka Doncic. Because again, he's still going to have high numbers. He's still going to give you nights where he'll go for 50 plus. He's still going to give you mad scoring nights and where Dallas will end up winning. And if they can finish in a decent seeding position, Luka Doncic is a shot. Another one, it's funny enough you said it, because I was thinking he's the biggest outsider, but he may not be, is Damian Lillard for the first time. Because if the NBA do what I think the NBA want is fresh blood, even though Dame's not fresh blood in terms of his career, if he's able to have a very solid output in terms of his numbers, he's able to make highlight plays, clutch plays, guide the Milwaukee Bucks to a top two seed, which I expect them to be, they may say, Giannis has had his time. We know Giannis is weird. But Dame's come. Let's give Dame some shine. And they may well give it Dame. It's a very outside look, because at the end of the day, you're sharing the limelight with the superstar. But again, it all depends on Dallas's seeding. But or the
story. Realistically, you just win MVP. Realistically,
I'd probably say Luka.
I don't know. Luka was.
Bro. I think that's. I don't know because.
No, the thing is that Luka was
good. I don't think though. I don't know if it's if they're going to be a top 7 seed because if he's going to be MVP, I think he has. They have to be like a top 6 seed. They have to be like all-Mac playoff team. So I'm a bit hesitant to see why you go with Luka. I think if Dallas have a good season and maybe be a top 6 team in the West, fair enough. But I mean, if we're going with just something which is very plausible, I think Dame's a good shout. But I think it's got to be Tatum. I think Tatum has got so much hype, the agenda. You know, I think it's his time this season. I don't want the Boston to do well, but regular season-wise, I think it's his time. You don't have to agree with me, but I'm a bit surprised with Luka Doncic. I'm being real about, just a real basketball mind.
I'm going to say agendas fly. And if Dallas can do well, this guy sometimes gets close, but not close enough. And this time might be the time. I just know that the NBA would not want a repeat winner in the last 5 to 6 years that has it. Who's
I agree with that. I do agree with what you said about they want a new winner. Richard.
Yeah, for my pick, I don't know what happened, the technical difficulties, but I think for my pick, it was between two players, and obviously I think Abbas has a good shot with the whole Lucas thing, because as you mentioned, he's going to put up ridiculous numbers again this year. Even when they were bad last year, I do feel like he was still able to not hold up his end of the bargain per se, because you can't hold on your own end of the bargain and not make the playoffs, but I feel when he's able to stuff the stat sheet, and I feel like Dallas will be better this year. He has a shout, but I'm going to go with Giannis just because of the way the season ended last year. I do feel like they were embarrassed by the Miami Heat. And obviously, when superstars reach a certain stage, they always talk about regular seasons don't matter and all these kind of things. But then, like I said, no matter how much Giannis wants to sugarcoat it and be like a step to success and whatever, his ego took a big hit because the way he started talking in the summer, talking about how I want to win, I want to be a Buck, but if the Bucks aren't going to do stuff for me to win, I'm not just going to stay here and all these kind of things. And I feel like he's going to do all the right preparation throughout the season. He's going to play his hardest, make sure him and Lillard have the best chemistry. So by the time they do get to the playoffs, they do not run into the same issues that they did last year. So, and even when Giannis sometimes looks like he's not trying, he still puts up like 28 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. So I think he'll be out for some kind of vengeance this year. I do feel like the Milwaukee Bucks will probably be the first seed. And I feel like he'll be able to dominate to the point where he's in, put an all-time and go on and win the MVP. Just my opinion.
Yeah, I just, like I said, for me, I don't know if he cares too much as well, Giannis, to win the MVP.
I think he should, because I've said it before, after he won the first championship back in 21, and it wasn't only me that said it, but then people was listening to all these accomplishments for the age of 27 and they started comparing it to LeBron and MJ. And I was saying, I feel like all the current players and superstars, this guy has the next run of going to become, to put himself.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think Rich is frost.
Yeah, I'm just gonna speak until Rich comes back. Cool. But no, I agree with Abbas in regards to. Let me just speak what Rich is saying with Giannis. And I agree with what you said. I don't think he would care enough because last season the Bucks got the number one seed. Am I correct on that in the East?
I think they did. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I want to say Boston did. No, they did. Yeah, Milwaukee did.
And I think they probably may finish number one. They'll be a top two seed, Milwaukee. If everything goes well, don't get any big injuries, they should be a top two seed, right? So, obviously, with Giannis, he got injured towards the end of the season. And we know one of the reasons why he did get injured, obviously, was the accumulation of games he was playing in the regular season. I feel like with this era, I feel like he may obviously playing less games than he has usually played throughout the regular season. So that kind of goes to the point, you know, which you made, that he may not care as much by kind of taking more opportunities to rest and obviously allow Dame to kind of lead the team a bit more. Especially now they've got another superstar which can allow Giannis to kind of take a step back and, you know, really get himself in the best shape for the postseason. So that's why I agree with you. I don't think you care for them. That's why I don't really see, you know, Giannis probably being an MVP winner.
Okay. Sorry for the technical difficulty, but it happens. But as I said, moving on as we're getting our MVP predictions, I'm just going to ask you, who do you feel will be the biggest underachievers this year?
I'm going to say it, and it's because I have no faith in them at this moment in time till they show me otherwise. It's probably the Pelicans again. Like, I don't really need to say much more, do I? Look, they've got JV. Still like JV. He's not JV of Toronto, but it's JV still. Brandon Ingram, Slender Man, whatever you want to call him. Guy looks... I'm not going to comment on how he looks when he plays, but he looks kind of out of it, always looks a bit dazed. And then you got Chunky Zion. I don't know if he's chunky right now or if he's slimmed down a bit.
Slimmed down.
He's slimmed down, but he's still chunky, man, to me, bro. Like, I remember them pictures and I was like, yo, how do you get the man boobs at your age, bro? How's that even possible? But all that being said, I'm looking at the Pelicans. I'm like, you guys have to be that team that pushes into the top six of the Western Conference. And they always let you down. So I'm going to probably still stick with that. And that's the Pelicans.
I'll go with... Yeah, I agree with the Pelicans. I'll put them there. I don't know. This may surprise people, but I'll probably say the Boston Celtics. Now, this may be a bit biased because obviously I don't like them. But if the Boston Celtics don't really win the NBA title, it's an underachievement. Getting Porzingis, getting Jrue Holiday, obviously coming close last year in terms of like being the conference finals, getting to game 7. Obviously having a superstar, he's ascending to great heights of, you know, Jalen Brown, and having a legit superstar, an MVP candidate, or potential MVP candidate, and potential MVP winner this season, who knows, of Jason Tatum, having a good coach of Mike Mazzulla, and even just now having the sniper, a guy who's got height, he can defend, having an all-rounder in your team of Kristaps Porzingis. And obviously the fact you got to the finals 2 seasons ago, I feel like if the Boston Celtics don't kind of really take it a step further and win the NBA title, I think it's an achievement. I don't think, for me, that's a blasphemous claim. I don't think so. Some people may be surprised I said it, but if it be real here, if they don't win the title with all the acquisitions they've made, with all the positions they've been in the last few years, it's a big underachievement. Again, they're a big franchise. They're a franchise we need to win. With the players you've got, you need to win. So if they don't win it all this year, for me, the Boston Celtics are going to be the biggest underachievers. And again, another one, I'll say, is New Orleans Pelicans. But that's questions if Zion can remain healthy and durable throughout the season. And that's the big question. If they can get these 60-70 games, you never know what the Pelicans can do. But if he plays 65-70 games, and for me, let's say they're not a second round playoff team, and they don't reach second round, then you can say, you know what, the Pelicans have underachieved. But it all depends on Zion's health, really, and we have to wait and see on that. But number one choice for me, if this is the Celtics, because I don't think they'll win a title, and I think if they win the title, it's an achievement.
I mean, I kind of get what you're trying to say, but I do disagree, just because I feel like if the Celtics do win the conference finals, I do think it'll be disappointing, and maybe you can see it's underachieving for them not to go to full and win it. But considering they're not even my top two favorites, I can't go on and say that it will be the biggest underachievement when there's other teams around the league that I feel like, given the kind of players they have, are going to do worse, which is why I'm saying I think my biggest underachiever this year will be the Dallas Mavericks, because 2 years ago when they had Luka, they went to the conference final where they bounced out Chris Paul and what's it called, Devin Booker, one of the most dominating game sevens in NBA history. The next season, they will make the playoffs. Not making the playoffs with someone of Luka's caliber, I think, is quite disgraceful. Where, especially when you then have Curry by your side, but then you also then talk about the lack of defense on their end as well. And I feel like there's so many talented teams in the West that I don't think they're going to go as far of not making the playoffs this year. But I do feel like there won't be in any type of championship contention anymore. And given the trajectory that Luka has had in his career, going from his rookie season when he was averaging 20, where he then took the Clippers to a game 6 or 7 in the bubble, I think it was something like that, whereas he also hit that game winner The next season, I believe they were in game seven with the Clippers. Then the next season, you bounce out the Suns in game seven, who were the first seed at the time to not go into the playoffs. I do feel like it's been like this, and it's slowly starting to come back like that. And you're going to have the kind of conversation. And I hope I'm wrong because I really like Luka, but I think Luka's heading to the kind of conversation that people start to have about Westbrook and James Harden in terms of ball dominant guards whose play style isn't conclusive to winning. And I feel like that it might be the trajectory that Luka is heading towards if he doesn't start bringing some NBA finals and championship to the table.
So, just to clarify, are you saying if the Dallas Mavericks don't achieve a playoff berth, that's an underachievement? What is your qualification for?
I think though that must be underachieved given the players I've had if they don't become a top six seed.
Okay.
This year. And I don't think they will become a top six seed this year. Right. So
I agree with you.
That's why I believe
it's not a surprise to me. So
yeah, because especially if you look at a lot of people doing like your top 10 players in the NBA, because as you mentioned, Boston Celtics, who they've been to the conference finals three of the last 4 years. And they've been to the NBA finals. Well, everybody's putting Luka ahead of Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum has been to the NBA finals, been to three conference finals. Luka's only been to one conference final, even though his career starts a bit late. I think his career only starts 1 year later. I think it was drafted in 2019.
Yeah, Tatum's first season was 2017 when they got to quarterfinals against
the 17-18. And then,
Luka's first season was 2018.
Yeah, so their career hasn't been that much apart, but then, even though the numbers might say they're similar, what they've been able to go on to achieve in the playoffs, I think Tatum has done a lot more, but no one puts him ahead of Luka. So, which might say that a player like Luka in the play-in, I feel like, is a massive underachievement for the Dallas Mavericks.
That's on here, yours.
No, he said Pelicans.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, given that, who do you feel like will be a sleeper team coming into this year?
What do you mean by that, Richard? Can you qualify that for me?
So, a team that, if you look at them, you wouldn't necessarily... So, what, like, let's say what the New York Knicks maybe did, like, last year, where they were able to take on and beat the Cavs, whereas in nowhere knew what to expect from Jalen Brunson as the main guy. I mean, RJ Barrett with his right hand, we don't expect anything. Julius Randle with his right hand as well, he kind of stunk up in the first last year, but they were still able to get to your conference semis, if I'm correct, so... Teams are able to go above what you feel like they should do.
Basically, kind of like overachieve.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question.
Oh, that's the question. Overachievement. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You changed the wordings. Okay. I've actually taken it first.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm not going to say overachieve, but I'm going to stick with a team that I think people expect to excel a little bit. That's probably OKC, because I think when you look at that team, it's probably got the best, I'm not saying the best young core, but it's got the core of players that probably is able to play more freely with a lack of expectation, but enough to grow up. Like you said, SGA, he's the one that you're sitting there, you're like, okay, well, how are you going to excel a bit more? And I think he can excel, but then alongside that, he can bring his crew with him. And if they can slot into the playoffs somehow, somewhere in the West and take over, like you said, it's not out of the realm that Dallas stink it up and somehow they don't get into the playoffs because Oklahoma are a better fitted team. So I'd probably look at it right now and probably say Oklahoma. You might get at the start like you did last year with the Orlando Magic hype. They were playing well right at the start and then the realization, hey, okay, wait, this is an 80-plus game season. Because this is the thing, there's not a lot of teams that really overachieve. Like some the New York Knicks, for example, I don't really call it overachievement because if you speak to Knicks fans, they expect this. If you
Cleveland, and that's what do their big market though.
No, but that's because of the big market, I agree.
Any Knicks fan, they're like, no, we expect this. We expect this to be doing this. We expect to be doing that type of thing.
No, but they should win. But it's not rational, though, at times.
It is to a point because, because of the way the NBA is formatted now, with the playing and the ability, there's not a lot of scope to actually overachieve. Right. Because if you don't make that particular play-in tournament or into the playoff or into the top six before the play-in tournament, you kind of realize, not early on, I'd say probably pre-All-Star that, okay, or no, after All-Star that, okay, our season isn't going the way we can start tanking a little bit type of thing. But I'd probably say OKC, and I think this little tournament they've got as well in the season is going to be fun to see how it plays.
What's someone's thoughts on that? Are you guys really like excited?
I don't know if teams are going to really care for it, what it really means. The only thing I'd probably say is, yeah, you can't really incentivize that tournament because you can't say to a team, if you win it, you're guaranteed a playoff spot. It's like, yo, if I'm guaranteed a playoff spot, why am I going to carry on playing for the rest of the season? So, again, it's the way to make more money. But again, at the end of the day, think about it. If you look at, like, in the Premier League, for example, the FA Cup, whatever, like, realistically, it's a cup to win. And most teams that win it have already got that European spot. I don't know how this one's going to work.
Yeah. I think they're going to kind of, like, you know, make sure that players are kind of playing, you know, the early regular season games.
Yeah.
To make it a bit more meaningful. But I don't know how meaningful it actually come across to the players when that actually starts. And obviously, I don't really care if they make up. Like, I won't get gassed if the Lakers are NBA Cup winners because it's not really embedded in NBA culture. So it's like, okay, fair enough. Like,
I think it's always a thing, whereas in sports fan never actually like change until the change happens and then they seem to embrace it 2 years down the line. So even if it will never have as much significance as the NBA championship, I feel like 5 years down the line where maybe players are starting to pick it up here and there and stuff. And like you said, like FA Cup kind of thing, it's not something like a team like Man City will set out their side to go and win it, but if you're in competition, why don't you go and pick it up kind of thing? So I think it would just be one of those things. But even I forgot about it, so not something I'm majorly looking forward to, but I mean, now I'm intrigued to see how it's going to work. But obviously, just back to the original comp in terms of biggest. I think, now, I don't think this would be seen as a big overachievement. I think it's more to do with where the stocks are compared to what I think to the rest of the league. So, I mean, Golden State could go and win the league, and it would be seen as a bigger achievement than what I'm about to say. But I think in relative to where they are, and I think it could be the Cavs, because I feel like they were another team that kind of had a very disappointing year last year, whereas in Donovan Mitchell, I forgot the player's name, Donovan Mitchell, Allen,
Darius Garland,
and all these guys, I feel like it's one of those things, really and truly, no one expects anything from them anymore because you've already got your two teams, which are the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. As you said, a lot of people say the Philly because of, obviously, you got Joel Embiid. Even though James Harden's still a question mark, he's still there. Then you've also got the Miami Heat because of Jimmy Butler, who's been able to take his team to the final twice now, and he's also done what Boston has done. And then, as you said, a lot of people believe in the New York Knicks more, which they're probably tied, but that's at least 4/5 teams. And then they're also in the mix with the Hawks as well. But then I feel like if the Cavs can come out and be the best of those guys and get to the conference semis, I feel like, irrespective to what it's not like I'm going to think the Detroit Pistons are going to go and make the playoffs, or I think Portland Trailblazers are going to go and become a playing team. So if that happens, that'll probably be a bigger overachievement. But I do think the Cavs coming out, I believe the Cavs will be the biggest overachiever by coming out to be the best out of the rest of those packs, in my opinion.
I hear you, bro, and I think you made some good valid points there. But I'm going to take a different direction, just be different, of course. Surprise, surprise for you people, but I don't know. I feel like my head, I've got a few suggestions. I feel like maybe the Brooklyn Nets could potentially be a top 16 in the East.
Mm.
I feel like, from what I've seen in preseason, the way that Cam Harris, is it Cam Harris, that guy? Is that right, Cam Harris?
I'm not focused on preseason, I won't lie to you, but I know.
Yeah, but you're the guy, I forgot his name, but.
Yeah. Oh, Cam Thompson.
Yeah, Cam Thompson, is that his name?
He'd be getting DNFs anyways, or did not play it. In regular season stuff.
No, but obviously we know his ability. I feel like for me, he's a real sniper. And when he gets going, he can put up bad numbers. And the fact that he's young as well. I like their coach as well. His name, it's not sticking to my head right now, but you guys know what I'm talking about, their coach, the head coach. Yeah. Obviously, Ben Simmons, obviously, it was good so far in preseason. Hopefully, that can continue coming to the reg season. And hopefully, he just can be consistent. But after that, for me, so Brooklyn was an honorable shout. But I want to go with the Houston Rockets, man. I'm going to go with the Houston Rockets. Yeah, yeah, I think get Ime Udoka, man. I think he's a good coach, man. I really believe in him. I invest a lot of stocks in Ime Udoka, man. I feel like he can do well with this young four players at Texas in Houston. You know, Jalen Green, I feel like he could have a big season this year. I liked what I saw from him last season towards the end of the regular season. Do you know what I'm saying? Obviously, Dylan Brooks coming to this team. Now, with Dylan Brooks here, he's not a scrub. He just talks too much. He just thinks he's the guy. Do you know what I'm saying? But he's not a scrub. Do you know what I'm saying? He's not a scrub. Yeah. So I feel like him going to Houston, I think, is a good start for him. It's a restart of his career. Hopefully, he can just look into the you know, Ime Udoka's philosophy and, you know, he gets going again. Do you know what I'm saying? And again, he's a good perimeter defender. You know, he's a good catch and free shooter. Do you know what I'm saying? So I feel like with that sort of setup, I think he can cook, you know what I'm saying, in the regular season. And obviously, they've got Fred VanVleet. And I really rate Fred VanVleet. I wanted the Lakers to go for him come the offseason.
Yeah, anymore, release the damn ball.
But obviously he's in Houston, and I feel like the pieces they've got together, I think it's quite solid. Now, don't get wrong, I'm not saying they'll make the playoffs convincingly, but I feel like they could make some noise where they could be a top 10 team in the Western Conference. I feel like they could potentially be a 10th seed, maybe a 9th seed come in the play-in tournament and, you know, make some noise potentially to get into the postseason. But I think maybe the Houston Rockets could be an overachiever. Maybe Brooklyn in the East, maybe Brooklyn, but I'm feeling more...
Cordo, you convinced me. Houston and my team as the biggest overachievers now.
Really?
I'm training. I think because obviously you mentioned a lot of the players that they had, and they were one of the worst teams in the league last year. And everyone knows that when you talk about the West and the NBA, they always seem to be the most prominent conference out of the two. But then, as you mentioned, they've got, you saw what Dylan Brooks was able to do with Canada, because he even said it. I think at one point where he talks about, he has scoring ability, paraphrasing, but he has scoring ability. Obviously, when you've got Ja Morant and Desmond Bane and those guys and Jerry Jackson, you won't have many touches to show yourself. So you still got that. Even though they've shipped Kevin Porter Jr. out of there because of, you know, but you still got Jalen Green, as you mentioned, is still there. So I'm going to call it Segun. How do you say it? Shegu. I'm going to go African and just say that, but you know what I mean? Anyways, a great passing, big man as well. So, and you talk about the coach and Ime Udoka, even though he won't be able to accomplish what he accomplished with Celtics because the team won't be as talented all around, I do feel like the philosophy and the ethic you put in there, as long as he's not cheating, will be great. So, yeah, you've convinced me. But obviously, just going into our final topic of the day, who do you guys believe will come out on top and be champions?
I'm going to keep it short and sweet here. The same way you used to always bet on LeBron James, whichever team he was on, it's the same way right now in this era you bet on Giannis and whatever team he's on. Milwaukee win it all.
Yeah.
I'm gonna echo Abbas. I hope Milwaukee can do it, because if Milwaukee don't, I think it'll be Boston, and I don't want Boston to win the championship. As a Lakers fan, it'll be a West.
Don't buy Boston out, bro. There's teams in the West that can beat them comfy.
Oh no, yeah. Oh no, no, that's a bit. No, you know what? Actually, you know what? Yeah. If it's not Milwaukee, I'm gonna go with Denver to repeat. If it's not Milwaukee. My main choice is Milwaukee, but a normal second, if it's not Milwaukee, I think Denver have a good shot to repeat. Even though they lost that guy, Bruce Brown, is that his name, right? Bruce Brown.
Yeah.
He went to Indiana, right? Is that the guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though they lost him, and he was a good role player for them come postseason, made some great shots. But I still think they have enough. You still have Michael Malone, you still have Jamal Murray. If he's healthy come postseason, he can light up. You know, Jokic. You got Michael Porter Jr., you got your KCP. Two-time champion, obviously. You've got that young kid, Christian Braun. So I think, yeah, they can definitely do it again, man. I think it's the health, man. You know what I mean? Denver, a humble team, man. They don't get too carried away. They're very humble. So I think they have a good chance to repeat But number one, I'm going Milwaukee, man. I just think the timing for Dame, Giannis, it just worked well, man. I think Milwaukee, man, are going to light up again, man. So, yeah.
No, it's crazy. I just thought about it, and the thought of Lillard getting a ring before Westbrook has just, you know what? It just made me almost want to cry.
Don't go there, Richard. Don't see the Clippers.
No,
what?
The Clippers,
Richard. What? Don't go there. Don't
you
go
know
there.
What's funny? I was about to come into this season to support the Milwaukee Bucks, and it just came to me. I'm telling you, I'm about to become the biggest Milwaukee hater this year because they cannot, Lillard cannot win a ring. Why Westbrook
bro,
is still
Lillard, bro?
I'm gonna do it, bro.
If you say the Clippers won the championship, you know, you're by Westbrook.
I know.
You're absolutely done.
I know how social media works. I know how social media works. And
you know what? You know, right now, both Lillard and Westbrook are both in what I call NBA state pension years. So it's like, do you know what? They're old, man. Let them do their thing. They're getting this state pension.
Lillard is still in his prime. Lillard still has prime years to give.
And he's got more of a prime year to give. You're right. But they're still in state pension years for me. So it's like, look, let him enjoy it.
Yeah, but no, but I go, even if what you're saying is correct, is I know the way people speak about legacy. I know the way people speak about history. And no one is going to be like, because Lillard is still comes to be the second best player on that team. And he still seemed like an all-star caliber player. So
yeah.
A thing where people are going to look at him and be like, but he was towards the end of his, even though I don't think he is. So if he gets one and people are going to start throwing him into conversations that he doesn't belong in with the likes of, not Steph Curry and Magic, because those guys in the league of their own, but you start talking about your Westbrook, Steve Nash, Chris Paul and Oscar Robertson and all those guys. I don't think a ring puts him there, but I feel like a ring is going to do that for him, and I'm just not ready for those arguments. So, Giannis, I'm sorry. I wish I could support you this year, but
just don't say the Clippers.
Say again?
Just don't say the Clippers.
Say it. No, so I still think the Frank, no, it wasn't even them because I was going to say, with you, all right, I do feel like if it's not going to be Milwaukee Bucks, the Denver Nuggets will be still the best. I just think with Milwaukee, I feel like Giannis is just going to come with such a point to prove, and I feel like he's going to be the one to dominate. And I'm still giving them the benefit of the doubt of still being the best player in the NBA, even though I think Jokic is a close second. So it can go either way between them two. But I do feel like Milwaukee Bucks should be the favorites. But just because I think they should be the favorites, it doesn't mean I want it to happen. So the agendas are going to have to fly. As we said, on our bounce, agendas over facts. So we are moving and stuff. So, yeah, but it looks like it's a clean sweep. Everyone is picking the Milwaukee Bucks to go back to the top.
Wait, Richard, do you give Denver a shout then to repeat?
Of course. Repetition is always key in the NBA. And I feel like Jokic, he consistently plays at an MVP level. Like, he's been in the MVP conversation for like 4 straight years now. And I think it's one of those things that at worst, so you saw when Max Kellerman used to do his 5-star ratings of like the 5 is a leader, 4. I feel like Jokic floor at the moment is a 4.5, and I feel like they'll be able to elevate. And then everyone knows about how Jamal Murray always seems to elevate, because the Denver Nuggets are going to make the playoffs for sure. So when it goes into the playoffs, he's going to elevate. And you know, KCP now, he now has more experience, he's now a 2-time champion. Mike Malone, I always feel like obviously not everyone gets to win more than one championship, but the first one is always the hardest to win because you don't know how to do it. So that's what I'm going to give them a chance. And the team is, they still have a lot of their team together. Obviously, you mentioned the Bruce Brown thing, but as great as he was, he is replaceable. He's not a Jokic or Murray. So they are my very close second. But Giannis, if he doesn't win it this year, then I'm going to stop talking about the LeBron factor, or at least get to the finals. But I still feel like he's next in line to claim this NBA season, so I'm going to burn him again. Mm. Well, I'm not going to burn him, but I think he's the favourites. So, yeah. But, you know, it's actually been fun talking to all of you guys, because the predictions have been quite interesting. I said, for once, Kojo has made me change my mind on something. But man said, one good take. We've got it. But Broken Clock is right twice a day. type of thing. But, you know, it's actually been fun. As you know, the NBA is going to be starting next week, which means basketball is back on the pod and on TikTok and on Twitter, Instagram. You name any social media is there apart from Facebook. So, as you see below, follow us on all social media, @OurBounds_UK. And just last thing, this is going to be a late release, so it's not coming on Tuesday, it's coming on Thursday. But we'll be back next Tuesday for the next pod. And stay tuned for more. Thank you for joining. Peace.
Take care. Cool.